So I'll just go ahead and create a cache. Set is awesome.
One. Yes, one. That's right, just once, that one time.
Then you can pick up a pricing tier. Like, we have two SKUs. We have a standard and a basic. Mm-hmm. Basic is just a one node. You know, standard is a SKU where we do the master-slave replication for you. If so, one node goes down, we'll spin up the other one.
Oh, interesting.
And so we offer a high availability of 99.9% on the standard SKU. Mm-hmm. So you can pick a cache size and pick a region. Pick what subscription you want to create the cache in, and pick a resource group. So resource group in Azure is a logical combination of different resources, like a cache, like a website, SQL Server.
So you probably want to have the cache that you're building be close to the website.
That's a good point, yeah.
In the same resource group, I mean.
In the same resource group and in the same location as well.
Got it.
So remember we said like cache should be closer to the website so that...
So if you pick your website to be in East US, you should put your cache in East US in the same resource group.
Yes.
Got it.
So we'll just create the cache. The cache is going to get created. So when you create a cache, we provision a cloud service for you, and usually it takes, you know, about anywhere from 3 minutes to 10 minutes for the cache to be created. So I'm not going to use the cache, say this is awesome, but I'm just going to use a cache which...
Well, who would use that cache?
Sorry?
Who would use Seth is awesome cache? It just doesn't feel right to me, you know. Like, it might be slow. Where
I wouldn't be too hard on myself. But once you create a cache, this is how the cache is going to look like. It's going to have a cache host name, and it's going to have a set of keys which I can use to use the cache in my application.
Right.
So this cache can be used from any kind of application. I can have a .NET app, Java, Python, Node, PHP. You can choose whatever language you want. And you can use one of the clients which are there in Redis to connect to it. So Redis is open source, all the clients are open source. Since I'm gonna show you a C# example, I'm gonna pick a client called stackexchange.redis, which is built by Stack Overflow and is used in Stack Overflow as well. So I'll jump back to my application, Hello World, and I've downloaded the Stack Exchange Redis client, and I also have JSON.NET because I'm going to show you how to serialize an object. So these are the endpoints that I can use to connect to the cache. What is my cache name? By default, we have SSL equals true, mm-hmm. So we have a secure connection, and we have the password, which is basically a key. And I create the connection database, and I'm going to just do a simple string set, which is going to set a key of I and a set of value 1. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to get the value of I. So that's a simple string operation that you can do with Stack Exchange Redis. The second example I was going to show you was to serialize an object. So like Stack Redis does not have any notion of, you know, serializing objects because that's specific to .NET.
Right.
So, I have this contact class where a contact can have an ID, an email, and name.
Mm-hmm.
And I can set it using JSON.NET. I'm just serializing the contact object into the cache.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm getting the contact object from the cache.
So is everything that goes into Redis, does it have to be a string E?
String, like, I mean, not like the .NET string,
Got
but
it.
Redis has its own notion of what's the string type.
Got it.
Okay. And then beyond simple strings, Redis has other data types. So I was talking to you about the leaderboard mm-hmm. example where you want to show the top five, so which is a sorted list.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have a sorted list stored as a data type in Redis.
Interesting.
And these are APIs that you can use in the client to sort of perform these operations. So I can just run this. And you can say like current value is 1, and then I have set my email address to be.
So how do you, like, one of the concerns with cache is, obviously, sometimes cache gets stale.
Correct.
How does one mitigate that?
That's a good point. So what happens in that case is, like, you need to have some logic in your application to figure out, like, why is the cache stale? Like, either you updated the record in the persistence store, but you didn't update the cache.
I see. So now you have to update in two places.
In two places.
Got it. Okay.
So usually what we recommend folks and what most people do is they'll have an abstraction on in their application, which will, whenever you update the database, will update the cache as well.
Got it.
So right now, I'm just showing you like a hello world of how do you use Redis.
Right.
But they'll have like a repository pattern will be using, maybe they have an EF data context, mm-hmm. which they're using to store it in SQL Server, and then they have a repository of talking to EF and updating the cache as well at the same time.
Got it. You mentioned that you can store more complicated data structures in Redis, and how do you actually use it with the API? Does Stack Exchange API allow you to
right.
do that?
Yes, and let me give you this pro tip, which I think I find it very useful too, because I think one of the messages that we keep telling people is like, we are hosting Redis. Redis is open source, so you can refer to the open source docs and you can do the any operation that you can do in the open source Redis in Azure.
Right.
So there's no magic. And so a good way of approaching this is you go to redis.io and you can look at commands. And let's say you want to store a list. Actually, let's go back to redis.io. And let's look at lists. So list is a Redis data type. And it talks to you about, like, this is the Redis CLI, which is a command line interface of performing the same operations. So it's Redis push, my list A is how you use the CLI. And in Stack Exchange, now you can do something very similar where you can say cache.list insert after left pop left push, which directly maps to all these commands.
Oh, got it.
That's the correlation that I always recommend people to make, because somehow they get stuck because most people will start with the client code like Stack Exchange or any of the non-.NET clients in mm-hmm. Java, PHP, and they'll try to use the operations. Mm-hmm. But they forget that these data types are not native to any of the programming languages. These data types like sorted set, list are native
Redis
to
thing.
It's a Redis thing.
Yeah.
So once you understand how the Redis thing works, then you can easily map it back to whatever client you have.
Got it, okay.
So you can do list, sorted list, hash sets, and all these commands like r push is basically right push. You're inserting mm-hmm. into the list either from the right or the left.
Mm-hmm.
It's a linked list.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so, and then the basic stays the same, like the value that you store is either a string or you serialize the object.
I see.
And that's it.
So just, I mean, I know this is like a tough question, but when do you know what thing to cache and what thing to not cache as a general principle? Is that a hard question?
It's a hard question because there's no like one answer to it. Like, I think the few answers that you have to consider is A, is this data going to be commonly accessed by the user? B, is this data going to change?
Got it.
Very often. And then, like, you know, some other criteria is, so for example, when Twitter was using cache and still is using cache, they don't cache the entire site.
No.
They cache like parts of the site.
I see.
So parts of the site which have high impact to the user, you want to improve that performance for the user for that particular section.
I see.
So things like, you know, account management, not so much, but the homepage, oh yeah, like I would definitely cache parts of the homepage.
Got it. So it looks pretty simple. Once you've got the once you've got everything set up, it's just putting stuff in and taking stuff out.
Simple.
Cool. Anything else you want to add? Did our thing? Did Seth is awesome finish baking?
Let's check. It's still creating.
Of course, because
Seth is awesome.
This kind of awesome takes a long time.
It doesn't come easy, right?
Well, anything else you want to add about using the client in Redis?
Go to redis.io and start from there before you start using any of the clients.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Pranav, for spending a little time with us. And take a look at Redis Cache on Azure. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.